This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Wake up, Atlanta. I am Bo Morgan. He is Michael. Don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson, the All-American National Champion and former Atlanta Falcon. And together, we're the Morning Shift.
Yeah, man.
Rise and shine.
Rise and shine. Happy Friday.
Yeah, man. I'm pumped. This is a sad time for most of us, but it's also a happy time because football has ended, and this is the first weekend that we won't have any type of football, whether it's like a Senior Bowl.
What's happy about it?
It's just why. Let me.
Sad, man.
Hey, I'm not done. That's the sad part. The happy part is we got a little All-Star game this weekend with the NBA. The Daytona 500 is this weekend, and so what my point is we are turned, and this is the beginning of the spring sports. Pitchers and catchers reported Wednesday for our Braves.
Northport's rocking down there.
So, you know, we've turned the leaf from fall, and now you can start your spring cleaning with the, you know, and I've been watching college basketball already this year.
Yeah.
Because college basketball is kind of a cyclical sport for me where I follow it heavily, I follow it lightly. I follow it moderately. Oh, I'm back to heavy again. And this is a year I've followed it heavily.
Yeah, and look, it doesn't hurt that your team's pretty good. Same goes for me. Same goes for a lot of SEC folks. So you're right, man. Spring sports are here. We can't turn the page on that just yet. And speaking of which, shout out to Garrett Money back behind the glass because Dylon is up in Philadelphia. He has already sent us pictures this morning and saying fireworks are going off in downtown Philadelphia. So shout out to Dylon. Shout out to Garrett for hanging out with us. Tiffany will, I'm sure, be here at some point today and want to join the show. And so that'll be a lot of fun. But nonetheless, man, Dylon's having a lot of fun up in Philadelphia, and he's at that parade with his girlfriend. And I haven't seen any pictures of what he's wearing. Might have to raid his girlfriend's
I'm definitely going to find socials her socials later
just to make sure that he's on task and doing the things he's supposed to do. But yeah, man, it is. You're right. It's a good Friday. The Daytona duels last night were a lot of fun to watch. There is still a lot of football news, but you're right. Looking forward to the weekend. Got the ultra rare college basketball matchup tomorrow night. The 1-1 matchup tonight or tomorrow night. I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah. 1-1.
No, there can only be 1-1.
That's not true.
It is true. It's like in Highlander. There can be only one.
Garrett, you're behind the glass. Look up who's number one in the coaches' poll and look up who's number one in the AP poll.
Oh, you can't. No.
You just told me there could only be one
because you only can use one poll. You have to pick one. It's like a driver. You have to pick one. You can't have two. If you do, you're a phony. Which, by the way, you pick.
Ding.
You picked your new driver.
I did. Today is the day. The driver reveal. It's going to be on the socials later on today, so you don't want to miss that. And we're building up to, Obviously, Daytona is this weekend. The duels were last night, and BetterHelp 400 that will be on location for next week at Atlanta Motor Speedway. They were already talking about Atlanta Motor Speedway on last night's Daytona broadcast about how stoked they are to get to Atlanta Motor Speedway.
But by the way,
ding,
if you are at Atlanta Motor Speedway next weekend in the infield and you see a 92.9 the game flag, hi, stop by. Hand me a cold beer and hang out with us for a few minutes.
Yeah, or you know, come have one of those Owl and Lagers.
Yeah,
which
I got
to talk so much about.
Dude, guess what?
Yeah.
Multiple people hit my boy Chaz up yesterday.
I love
it. Hey, you're getting called out. You better hit him up.
You got called out.
And
Chaz.
So he hit me up and was like, he's like, hey, I gotta get you squared away. How much you need? I said a lot. So
keep it rolling.
So we're definitely doing that. Went to Cancun's last night. Had a couple of margs and the wings, and my guy Tavo's there. He's our bartender there, and we were sitting on the bar side, I had just got there, and I said, Tavo, can you get us on Fox? I need NASCAR, and he goes, it's already on right here. Pay attention.
Oh,
and I was like, but you know why? Because that was my side profile, and I was like, oh, so you expect me to turn sideways to watch this?
No, I was gonna say, he was like, you can't turn your head.
I said, you expect me to turn sideways? He's like, I'll put it on another one, too.
It was really cool last night. I do want to point, before we go any further, I know we're going to get to it, but Bubba Wallace wins in Michael Jordan's number 23 car last night. It felt iconic. He won duel number one, and then after some reviews and some other stuff, Austin Cindric wins duel number two, which he's a Daytona 500 winner. But, man, it was cool watching cars back on track last night for that. And all the other craziness going on. So, yeah, man, you're right.
But
you're right, man. I didn't mean to question you earlier because you are so spot on. It is a sneaky, very good weekend in sports.
Yeah, that's my point. Is I think we don't realize it. It's start to finish. You know, you're gonna have there's gonna be races tonight. There'll be races Saturday. There'll be races Sunday. There's college basketball all day Saturday. Mm. And then Sunday night, you'll finish off. Now, don't forget, there'll be the Rising Stars game, I think, tonight. Zachary Richichet will be in that.
Yep.
From your Hawks,
yep.
Our Hawks, yours, mine, ours. Then you have all the college basketball on tomorrow, and then your nightcap will be the NBA playoffs. All-Star game. Where Trey...
They are playing off.
Where Trey will be... a part of it, and you know he'll get to shine. So it is a sneaky good weekend. And then next weekend, if I'm not mistaken, the combine will be. I think the combine is next weekend or the weekend after. You also have Atlanta Motor Speedway. So still, we're fastly approaching March Madness. The Masters is a little less than 2 months away, which is scary because Masters Sunday is a due date. So it's very much. Real quick, last night, Bubba Wallace. I want to say something about Bubba Wallace. I've followed Bubba's career since he was in trucks, and he's always been a happy-go-lucky kind of fun guy. For a couple of years, it felt like he had lost the joy.
He's hard on himself,
and then
very hard on himself.
Well, and I think you mentioned it earlier this morning when we were talking before the show. The pressure of the 23-11, Michael driving for Michael Jordan,
driving for McDonald's, which is an iconic brand.
Yeah,
NASCAR.
Last night it was good to see him in victory lane. It was also good to see joy from someone who that's what you knew for a long time, and it wasn't. So, without further ado, let's hit the front page. Front page is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PadlyBuys.com. That's PadlyBuys.com. All right. So yesterday, a couple of things happened at Flowery Branch. You know, maybe kind of under the radar, but wasn't. TJ Yates was promoted to the passing game coordinator, and DJ Williams is now been promoted to the quarterback coach. So these are guys that... T.J. Yates was the quarterback coach last year. D.J. Williams worked with him as a quarterback coach. So they've kind of been moved up to that. And I like it. I like T.J. Yates. I think the guy knows what position. He's a hometown kid. And he and D.J. Williams, I thought, did a pretty good job with the maturation process before and after he got on the field with Michael Penix Jr.
Well, and that's the biggest question. When this happens and this news comes out, you wonder what it means for Michael Penix Jr., what it means is, you know, is DJ Williams now working on mechanics more than TJ's? I personally, and you'll have thoughts on this, I don't think it means anything. This is not something I had to deal with so much. I did have co-offensive line coaches at one point, or a head offensive line coach and an assistant offensive line coach, but everybody just kind of jumps in and coaches when it comes to the offensive line. It might be different in a quarterback room. It might be different when one guy is called the passing game coordinator or quarterback coach or assistant quarterback coach or whatever it is. The bottom line is Zach Robinson played quarterback in the NFL. T.J. Yates played quarterback in the NFL. D.J. Williams had his own career, and all these guys are going to come together to help Michael Penix. The question will be who's behind Michael Penix, but that's for a future date to be determined.
I mean, it could still be Kirk Cousins, just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
I was listening to Duke's Mill a little bit. I know Zeno was in, and they were talking about it, and Terrell was like, no, they can't have him here on the roster based on what he said. Yeah, they can. The reason why is you don't make business decisions emotionally. Yeah.
You don't
right?
have to talk about it with your chest, man.
You take your emotions out of things, and what they have to do is what's best for the organization. And it might be having Kirk here next year, because if you don't get a June 1st designation, and I got some information on the June 1st designation trade, it is not the same as a player being cut with a June 1st designation, when they can go in the building, all that stuff, which is going to make a big deal, by the way. College basketball, number one, Auburn versus number two, Alabama.
Buddy.
It's a big matchup, guys.
Well played, Garrett. Well played.
I don't think that Tuscaloosa has ever seen the buzz on a mid-February day the way they are going to on Saturday with Auburn rolling into town. Both these teams, obviously, 1-2 in the polls, projected number one seeds. This is there's been a little bit of energy surround this, a little bit of I don't want to call it trash talk, but Bruce Pearl's son comes out. He's doing an interview, and he basically says, that Auburn forced Alabama's hand into hiring Nate Oates because they wouldn't have hired Nate Oates if Bruce Pearl wasn't at Auburn, which makes no sense to me at all. It's like saying, you know what? You wouldn't have hired the best coach possible. You wouldn't have done it. You wouldn't have gone out and tried to get a good coach without, if there wasn't a good coach at Auburn. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But nonetheless, that kind of made headlines over the last couple of days over in Tuscaloosa in the state of Alabama. So that is a massive, massive matchup coming up Saturday. I believe that's 4 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. So
yeah, that game on ESPN. There's a ton of SEC matchups going down this weekend between schools that you would consider rivalry schools. So you got Arkansas at number 8, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt at number 5, Tennessee, number 21 ranked Missouri at Georgia, then number 22 ranked Mississippi State at number 19th, Ole Miss, and then LSU at Oklahoma, number 15, Kentucky at Texas.
Oh, Florida's playing South Carolina.
I saved the best for last for you.
Number 3, that's a home game for Florida. They've already beat South Carolina once. It was a close game the first time. They played them pretty well. Georgia, as you mentioned, playing Missouri. Georgia was red hot to start the season. They got an SEC play, and they struggled. That's called the Mike White special, ladies and gentlemen. I lived through Mike White's era at Florida.
Wow.
And I like Mike White, and I think he's a good coach. But this is pretty much what he is. He is his teams start out, and then they get in league play, and they struggle. His teams will go in scoring droughts for and a ridiculous amount of time. Mike White was the kind of coach that you don't fire because he elevates your program he makes you win, but he doesn't win you anything. And I'm afraid that that's what Georgia is now. But that said, this is the best Georgia basketball has been in years. So it's kind of like, are you going to cut your nose off to spite your face situation for them?
Yes, they've been in years, but everyone's just talking about the SEC, obviously, as a whole. Could you give me the conference record?
I believe it's somewhere around 82 and 82, which is not very good. They have not separated themselves from other conferences with that in conference record.
Oh, man, shots fired.
Hey, when we come back here on the morning shift, MLB Network's top 100 players, where do the Braves stack up in this? That's just ahead on the other side. We return on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5HourEnergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the morning shift, and MLB Network has named their top 100 players. So a couple Braves are on this list. I can give you, though, who's at the top of it. And any guesses here? He's a pitcher. It's a lot of money.
Is he just a pitcher, though?
Pitcher and some.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's got to be Shohei Ohtani, right?
Yeah. He is number one on the list. And then Aaron Judge, who is only a right fielder, is no, I'm just kidding, but he is in second place on this list according to MLB.com. I could run through the top five, or we can jump to who the Braves players.
Well, real quick on the Shohei thing, does it bother anyone that last year he was just a designated hitter?
He was dealing with injury, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's coming off the Tommy John.
Same,
but
does it bother me that he's number one after being just a DH?
Yes, because here's why. He's obviously come off the injury. It's Tommy John, so he'll be pitching this year, it looks like. But he's the best player, and he does one thing. Now, he does it last year, and we saw there are a couple of players on this list at our Braves that were docked spots for injury or completely left off, which I know we'll get to.
On this list.
Yes.
So, I was going to say, let me put a pin in it. Let's hit the pause button. Let's let Tiff get to the Braves rankings, and then I want to revisit the question because that's what we're going to find out what really the meat of the answer is here.
So Ronald Acuna is ranked 16th. He's behind Paul Skenes on this list, and Chris Sale ranked 20th. You got Austin Riley on this list as well, Matt Olson, Marcell Ozuna, Michael Harris, and Yerkson Profar. Those guys at 33, 34, 47, 67, and 84th.
Okay, so now let's revisit the question. You said, does it bother me that as a DH, he's number one on the list and he didn't pitch last year? My question, throwing it right back at you, is does it bother you how low Ronald Acuna is on this list coming off of injury?
No, because he wasn't very good when he did play last year.
And he's 16th low out of 100 players, and he didn't like he was injured.
Yeah, let me highlight this fact because I think we're missing two words out of this entire headline. This list is called Top 100 Players Right Now. It's right now. It's not Top 100 Fantasy Players. It's not ranking of current players, you know, in history of baseball. It's Top 100 Players Right Now. And I actually think that given that headline, given that subject, that Ronald Acuña Jr. might even be high on the list. And well, we're talking about top 100 right now.
But that's why I ask about Shohei, is because he's the best hitter in baseball, and he did steal a plethora of bases last year. But if I need last year, right, you know, and right now, and that was, and right now means last season. That's what it meant to me. Because that's what this is based on. So this is just like the NFL top 100. Everything these guys are voting on is based off last year. And look, I'm not knocking Shohei. I think he, dude's freaking phenomenal. But he was a one-trick pony as far as he was just an offensive player last season. So how is he the best player coming off of last season?
I'm going to tell. So this is by Brian Murphy and Manny Randala of MLB.com. So they put together this list. I want to read you the last line on the Shohei Ohtani blurb that they wrote. And it says, basically, all the stuff from last season, it all resulted in his third unanimous MVP award as he enters the 2025 campaign looking to return to his two-way way of dominance. So I guess they are factoring in the potential of where you will be here based on that line.
Let me ask you this.
I'm not saying it makes it right, but
this is a hypothetical. No, I get it. Look, I think I'm not arguing he's not the best player in baseball.
You make a valid point in the fact that
it seems like that's exactly what you're
what arguing. What I'm is, how can you put a guy that could only hit last year, and I know he won the MVP and steal bases, over and say player, and say that he is, you know, he is the tops, the creme de la creme, when Aaron Judge did everything he could and was in the field. Now, Aaron Judge had a bad moment defensively in the playoff in the field, but like, that's my, what happens if Shohei pitches this year and isn't very good because, you know, he's coming off injury. Does he now get docked?
Well, to Mike's point, that's why it says right now.
I'm talking about for the next year's list, though.
Yeah. Well,
like, would he get docked?
And here's the thing. We can talk about the fact that Aaron Judge plays the outfield. Does he play it well? Did he get docked?
He does play.
He should get docked.
He does play it pretty well. He had a bad moment in the playoffs, but he plays it pretty well. I mean,
he moved up from
last
year.
I don't think he's going to be mistaken for Andrew Jones anymore.
Well, you know what? There's not many people that will be mistaken for Andrew Jones at playing baseball these days and defensively other than maybe Michael Harris.
My point is that when you look at Shohei Ohtani, I think, and I'm what, 50 stolen bases? Is that what we're dealing with? 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases?
59, I believe.
I think, and I want to say this article says this, he's the best baseball player on the list. Now, and I think we can take pitching out of that. I think he's the best baseball player on the list.
Again, I'm not saying any of that, but this list is based off what he did last season, and he didn't do anything but hit and steal bases last season. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I think if he comes back from the mound, and we got to get to the Braves portion of this, but if he comes back to the mound and can do kind of what he did with the Angels before the injury, and he can do that for another 5, 6, 7 years, he might go down as the greatest baseball player of all time. Maybe shorter lived.
Be hard to argue with.
But just completely, ridiculously dominant.
So who's not on this list when it comes to the Braves? Ozzie Albies, Sean Murphy, Spencer Strider. Do you think that those guys were snubbed?
No issue with Murphy. And to be frank, no issue with Ozzie, because Ozzie was hurt quite a bit last year and wasn't great.
No.
Now, the Strider one is where I think people
have
some
question marks.
Well, a little bit. My question is how Paul Skenes is ahead of Chris Sale after half a season and faded late in the season, which people just kind of forgot about.
Didn't Chris Sale win the Cy Young Award?
He did. So Chris Sale should be above him. The Strider thing for me, I'm okay with Strider being left off, and here's why. His September was not very good in 23. He was not great in September. In fact, his last two starts in September, he pitched 10 and two-thirds innings and gave up 7 runs. That's not great. That's not top 100 caliber stuff. And he was brutal to start last season. Now, he was injured, so that's fine. But he didn't play last year, so you don't know what he is. So I have no problem with him coming off a second Tommy. Well, not quite Tommy John. He had the other surgery. It's not technically considered Tommy John. Where you put the what is it? The brace.
Surgery. Yeah, I don't want to be wrong.
It's some kind of brace surgery. Yeah, is what it is.
Look, I don't have a problem with Ozzie, Sean, or Spencer Strider. As a matter of fact, I think this is a huge year for Sean Murphy, and I think you know Grant McCauley said as much when he visited us the other day. Sean Murphy needs to have a good season, as do a number of other Braves, but I think when you look at Sean Murphy and you just wonder what he is and the fact that Travis d'Arnaud's not here, I think Sean Murphy really has to take the reins on that position. Again, Spencer Strider, for everything we thought, hurt early in the year. I would even make the argument, and I say this because of Ozzie Albies, but I would even make the argument that Michael Harris might be too high on this list.
Yeah, Michael was good when he played, but he missed a lot of time with the hamstring stuff.
Yeah, I mean, what are we at for Michael Harris? Somewhere between 15 and 20 homers and probably .260 batting average. I mean, like, I get it, but you're telling me the top 100 players right now, he's number 67, and I think he was definitely higher on the list. And if you guys remember going into the season last year, and it's unfair because he dealt with the injuries, but going into the season last year, did we all not sit here and say that this guy is going to have a massive breakout campaign?
Well, I know I did. I was head over heels about it.
I think we all were. And I think it was fair at the time. I think it was absolutely fair at the time. And it didn't happen for whatever reason. And when he was on the field, he struggled at times early in the season. He turned it on late. But again, we're talking about the top 100 players right now. I don't feel disrespected by anything on this list. Outside of maybe I feel like Chris Sale belongs to be a little bit higher.
Well, that was exactly what I was going to bring up. I actually was going to read the definition about the Cy Young Award winner because it goes to the most outstanding pitcher in Major League Baseball. That is what is written about the award. So
yeah.
I don't understand how you can have a guy that won that award ranked 20th because that feels too low for me. If you are the most outstanding pitcher in Major League Baseball, how are you ranked 20th on this list?
No, I couldn't agree more. And you look at it, and the highest ranked pitcher on this list, as you roll through it, is Skubal, who from the Tigers, he won the Cy Young for the American League, if I'm not mistaken. But then it's Skeens, and then it is it's Zach Wheeler, and then it's Chris Sale.
Yeah.
Which is
the Wheeler thing's a little off to me.
It's very disrespectful to me that Chris Sale didn't get more recognition for what he did last year. And you look at from start to finish last year, he was the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. The best. From start to finish, he was the most consistent, dominant pitcher in baseball last year. That is ridiculous. The Yurickson Profar thing, it's where I think Braves fans should be like, wait a minute.
Wait, what?
We've got a guy that we signed 2 weeks ago, and he's considered one of the top 100 players. And, yeah, it was probably a little more than AA wanted to spend. I think he kind of said as much on the steakhouse when he joined them a couple of weeks ago. But we signed a guy like 2 weeks before pitchers and catchers reported. And he's one of the top 100 players. I feel good about that considering all three of my outfielders are top 100 players.
That's a good feeling coming into the year. And you look at trying to keep them healthy, obviously. Let me go back one second just real quick to the Skeens thing. The reason, in my opinion, that Skeens didn't win the Cy Young last year is because he didn't pitch the entire season. He was a late call-up. And so if you want to say right now, I'm actually okay with that. The Wheeler thing, though, is out of pocket. Stop it with that. That's out of pocket.
The association, the All-Star break is now upon us. So let's break down some of the expectations for the games, for the events as well, now that we've got our own Trae Young out there, who we also know is replacing the injured Giannis, but he is an All-Star. We'll be right back to touch on that next here on Sports Radio 99, The Game. We got a rave going this morning, Garrett. Is that what's happening?
That's Ganyan style.
Was it Ganyan style or whatever?
That's Gangnam Style. It's Psy, man. I remember this from high school. This was all
the
rave.
Stop with the remember from high school.
Really? You can
tired of that.
Okay. I remember it from my adult life.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
This is the first ever music video to get a billion views or something.
Did you guys play this at Chick-fil-A when you were working the drive-thru?
No, we had a 104.7 The Fish type style.
Oh, I love you, Garrett.
R.I.P.
This was a little too edgy for us.
Yo, that just got me weak. That's funny right there, man. Dang, that was funny.
Maybe you can go be the DJ at All-Star Break. You can make it out to San Francisco. I got some connects out there. Let me know if you want to hop on a flight today, Garrett. DJ G, that's what I'm going to call you.
DJ G, I'll take that.
DJ G. So, yeah, we got the All-Star Game upon us. It is on Sunday, and it is out in San Francisco. So there's a rejuvenated format for 2025, and that's to try to bring back some interest. So the All-Stars will compete in a mini tournament of four teams in three games, and the winner being the first to 40 points. So I can stop there. Do you think that's going to be enough to, you know, make it more entertaining?
No.
All right.
I'd be way more apt this year to tune in than I have been in years past because of the format.
I think it sounds cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm way more apt.
You know what? So as a kid, when I was in high school, DJ G, I vividly remember
BC
going to parties. Like if we went to like a party that night or whatever, and it was All-Star Weekend that Saturday night, we would all find ourselves, you know, at some point for the slam dunk contest.
Yes.
Like everybody, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
And that was part, like, you'd be hanging out and somehow you'd be watching. Oh, did you see that dunk? And because there were legit all-stars, legit names in that. And I'm not trying to, poo-poo on anybody. And the guys that are in it are kind of some, they're guys that fringe fans might not know, but a lot of guys do. But, like, here's a problem for me. Mac McClung is in the All-Star
Slam dunk
contest.
Yes.
He's a defending champion of the slam dunk contest. He's also in the G League this year, guys. So it loses. How does that grow the game? How does Matthias?
I think we've passed that point where it's to grow the game, though, right?
I'm telling you that in the past, it helped grow the game. It helped grow the viewership. You know, having guys that were in the slam dunk contest was a big deal. And
yeah,
I'm going to.
But there's such a thing as getting stale. When everything that can possibly be done has been done.
Well, I agree with you to an extent, but you just want to see one of your favorite names in there, and
I
they just refuse
you,
to do it.
What if this is a different, like the different spin? You mentioned McClung being in the G League, right? Or D League, excuse me.
No, it's G League.
Sorry, my brain.
The D League would be like kind of.
No, I know.
I think it changed G when Gatorade sponsored.
What?
No. Oh, I didn't even think about the Gatorade sponsor.
Thanks.
Learned something new today.
Your little information book over there? No one called 401,
dude. Listen, I might be completely lying to y'all, but that's just all what I've always
thought. I don't know. J-Day shook his head in approval.
There you go.
So.
Like, wait, shook his head or nodded in approval?
Yeah, well, nodded, shook his head. Same thing. His head moved.
Shook his head, yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, my point was.
Boy, we're all over the place with rules and facts in the show today.
Everyone wants to be right, you know? Not everybody can
That's right.
be you, Bo.
Turn into the educational morning shift.
And everyone can be you.
I know. I'm sorry. It's a sad world.
So, Mac McClung. Okay.
Yeah.
I think maybe it gives you something to look at in the sense that you could be like, oh, I remember this guy when he was in the G League, and now he's doing this, and maybe he gets called up, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it builds some sort of, I don't want to use the word nostalgia, but, you know, maybe it builds some sort of, like,
rapport
you feel
with
like,
the player?
Yeah, like, yeah. Maybe, I don't know, I'm throwing stuff out there, but maybe that's one of the approaches behind letting him do it.
I just think that,
last year.
I think we've had this conversation a dozen times on the show, the biggest opponent to sporting events and actual athletic competitions these days is entertainment value. Those two things don't always coincide. They don't coexist always. And I think I speak for a lot of people. And listen, I'm going to watch this NBA All-Star game because I want to see Trey and I want to see him perform. But everything else surrounding it, All-Star formats in general have sort of jumped the shark. And I think everybody agrees that. You got the Pro Bowl Skills Challenge. You've got other things that you just look at and go, it's stale.
Let me say this.
So I appreciate them trying to move around and do different things is what I'm saying.
In the past, you used to be able to watch the NFL Pro Bowl for the game. The skills stuff was kind of fun, but the game used to be something you'd watch. Used to be. It went way away from it. Like I'm talking about like when you could light people up in the game. Remember Sean Taylor lighting up the yeah. punter? Like that day. And then it was always the MLB was the only one where it was 2 days dominated because you had the home run derby, the game. And the game in the MLB All-Star game will always be the best game of them. The NBA, to me, it was always the Saturday. It was the 3-point contest has got some stars in it.
Yes.
You got Brunson, Damian Lillard, Tyler Hero, Cade Cunningham's in it. He's a good player. Darius Garland's in it. So they got some guys. But it was a 3-point contest and it was a dunk contest. And that was it. That was the Saturday night of the All-Star game was it. I remember in Atlanta. You were living in Atlanta when the All-Star game was here back in like 2000, and I want to say it was like two. Day-Day, maybe it was 2003. Correct me if I'm wrong. But this city, I remember trying to drive through this city, and it was freaking slammed. I mean, it was so cool.
It's the place cool. to be. Look, let me break down the teams, too, because you do have Trae Young, who I mentioned is replacing Giannis. He's on Team Chuck. So, again, it's a tournament of four teams in three games, with the winner being the first to 40 points. So there's Team Chuck, Team Kenny, and then there's Team Shaq and Team Candace. So Candace Parker. That's how it breaks down.
These teams all have a theme, too, and I don't know if people understand. But I'm pretty sure that Trae is the only American player on his team because it's Chuck's Global Stars. It's Kenny's Young Stars and it's Shaq's OGs. So there's kind of a theme with the way they've separated him. Obviously, Trae being a late addition and him replacing Giannis, he had to go to the Global Stars team. It doesn't really fit with him, but everybody else, it kind of fits into this thing where there's a theme for each team and they kind of have an identity, which I think is actually pretty cool. I actually think that's really, really cool that they went about it that way because, you know, you don't just say, you're not drafting. It's like, you know, hey, this guy kind of belongs right here. So I think that's a really cool aspect of everything else going on. And so, yeah, I mean, you're going to look at them, you're going to see it broken down. The problem is when you look at it and you try to guess who's going to win, it's really all about who's going to give the most effort, I think. And you don't ever really know. If you want to look at it from that aspect, maybe it's the young stars have a little more juice to them. I don't know, but I'm way more apt to watch this than I would have been just a straight up All-Star game.
I agree. Like, I think it sounds entertaining, especially with the cap on the 40 points thing. You will probably get, and not saying they didn't try before, but you'll get that effort, I think, that everyone's kind of been missing.
I'm a freaking sports nerd. Like, I'll watch, you put it on, I'll watch it. It will be on one of my two TVs. And when Trae's out there, I will definitely pay attention, you know, and I'll turn the volume up if the volume's not up on that. Hopefully the Daytona 500 is done by then. So, because that thing sometimes will last 12 hours.
Yeah, Daytona will last, but I'm with you. I'll have both TVs going, and I'll have both events on each one. And to your point about the dunk contest, you used to kind of identify with the guys you saw as starting to tune in strictly to see what he does on. Because, you know, there's been all this back and forth about him being an all-star and not an all-star. I think he'll have a chip on his shoulder in this game and want to prove something. And I hope he does. I hope he goes out with that attitude.
So let's shift gears here and touch a little bit on to college sports because Alabama athletic director Greg Byrne has reiterated a solution to fix the issue of court storming or just storming in general to the field in college sports. So he says conferences such as the SEC, we know they find whose fans surface after an upset, whoever continues to happen in both basketball and football. So most recently, Vanderbilt got a $500,000 fine from the SEC after storming the court following an upset of Kentucky in Nashville. So now Byrne, he says calling the game a forfeit after the fans leave the stands for the field could be a solution.
That's
a safety issue. Do you agree with forfeiting the game?
No, that's stupid.
Okay.
That's stupid. That's so dumb. It's so ridiculously dumb. And I think, Garrett, you might have mentioned this yesterday on the Steakhouse when I was listening on the way home. Alabama would have made the college football playoff had this rule been in effect last year, because they would have been forfeited wins that they had lost. They would have been given. They've been given.
I'm pretty sure all three games they lost in regular season were field storm.
The reason it's dumb is, why should the ignorance of fans basically affect the blood, sweat, and tears that players have put forth in a game? The injuries they sustained. It's a little bit ridiculous. Do I think that we need to find a solution for when things happen, like Jermaine Burton punching a female fan at the University of Tennessee when they stormed the field a couple years ago? When things like that happen, we need to figure out how to address something. But this ain't it.
So I had, I think, 5 field storming games when I was at ESPN a few seasons ago. And to be caught up in the midst of that, I feel like I can hold my own. But I still took a couple shoulders to the back. And I'm not a player on an opposing team. So I can only imagine the degree of disrespect that is out there. And we've seen it for players on other teams. So it is not a safe it isn't a safe environment. I mean, it's not. It's a fun atmosphere. It's cool. And being like on the field for it was to a degree cool. But at the same time, you can't find anybody. It's crazy.
I will say, and granted, man, you guys know me, know my background. I have a lot of love for Greg Burnham. This is the second time this offseason he's completely missed. For me.
Oh, and the other was the needy tweet about money.
The whole thing about you going out saying we basically need money. I'm not buying that either. You're under like a $200 million renovation at the stadium. It's all good. I'm not sending you $10. Nonetheless, though, I don't know what the answer is. I don't think there is another answer. I've scratched and kind of climbed through this. I don't know what else you do. You've already levied severe financial fines. If 50, 70, 90,000 people want to storm a field, no amount of security in the world can stop them from getting on that field.
You put a net up baseball. Just,
there's nothing
or
to be done.
Golf.
I was thinking about that, too.
There's
or maybe
no red rope. There's no velvet rope you're going to put out and keep people off the field.
Maybe you put up like
a
NASCAR.
I don't know, man. I don't know what the answer is. I think somebody's got to come up with something, but I think he completely whiffed.
It sucks. I mean, it's the same thing as, at Texas when they're throwing stuff, and then it caught on in other places where they're throwing stuff onto the field. On the field because they don't like calls. Like, these things pop up, but you can't penalize. This is dumber than putting a school on probation and punishing players who had nothing to do with scandals. This is dumber than that thought process. And, of course, that was around for the last 100 years of NCAA athletics or 80 years or whatever.
Hey, when we come back at the top of the hour, let's get into some off-season questions for NFL teams. What's the biggest question surrounding the Atlanta Falcons? You can take a guess. We'll be right back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.